Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. Fucking cue.
Yes. That was awesome. Not going to miss it this time.
No, not like last week. I have dishonored my family last time.
Nice.
That's good.
Only Long can say that.
Yeah.
Family.
My family.
Family,
yes.
I didn't even notice you said that.
Yeah, but, dude. I was like, you purposely did not use an L because it is not in the Japanese language.
I'm not even Japanese.
Yeah.
No. Okay. I was going to try to make a joke. I can't even. Yeah. I'll just go with it.
Yeah.
We'll go with family.
Yeah, let it go.
How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Short week. We're recording a little earlier than usual.
Yeah, just a little
My
earlier.
Fault. Just one night earlier, so it's not that earlier.
Yeah, it's all good. We got stuff. Glad I could make it today.
Yeah.
We were going to record Monday. Yeah.
So none of us have seen Captain Marvel yet, but next week, hopefully we'll all see it. I may see it while I'm in Austin this weekend. If not, I will definitely go see it next Saturday morning before we record next weekend. So I will definitely have seen it by then.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It's out in theaters now. It's making, apparently having a very good Friday. It was estimated for $60 million just today.
Wow.
So I think the numbers are doing well. There's been some minor controversy behind it with Brie Larson and some of her comments, I guess she's made and yeah. stuff. But, you know, a movie's a movie. Just go see it for you.
I guess the man babies feel attacked or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, oh, they made a movie starring a woman. You know, whatever. You know?
It's just she's been saying some weird stuff. Like, I'm not going to take criticism from white men watching the movie. Hmm. And I'm like, what's this about?
Yeah.
You know, like,
maybe she did it on purpose to stir up controversy to get people to go see it.
Controversy Maybe. Makes yeah, money.
That's
right. It's making people bomb friggin' tomato meter.
Fucking Rotten Tomatoes anyway. You know, I always say watch
You know who owns it, right? Warner Brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So Warner Brothers, I mean, they don't have to do it, but they're deleting review bombs, you know, for a rival company. And it's like, you know, we're trying to stay impartial, so, you know.
Oh, well, you know, I say go see it for what it is. You know, it's just there's weird things going on. Like right now, did you know there's a movement to, I didn't realize that Ace Ventura, which isn't that great of a movie anyway. It's okay. The second one's funnier.
The second one is funnier.
It's an okay
it's
movie.
It's got Dan Marino in the first one.
So
I don't even remember the first one.
It was a weird cult hit at the time that made Jim Carrey a star, but Jim Carrey went on to make better films after that. But now there's like a movement that's saying the movie is transphobic.
Joe Rogan.
Yeah, the movie is apparently transphobic. I guess Joe Rogan was on a podcast recently and he got called out for it. Because, you know, Sean Young's character plays a androgynous type character in the movie.
I thought it was Courtney Cox.
No, is she in it too, though, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Sean Young is in it, and she plays a character that is like supposed to be a dude, disguised himself as a woman.
Yeah,
to find
Blade Runner.
Who killed her husband. I don't remember the whole plot of Ace Ventura, but now they're saying like it's...
He plays a football kicker and blames Dan Marino because Dan Marino didn't hold the laces out and he went nuts, became a woman, took the stolen identity of a girl that went missing by the name of Lois Einhorn, became a police detective, all in order to get closer to Dan Marino, blame him for snowflakes... the dolphin's disappearance.
See, that was another thing. They said, like, they're saying now the movie is transphobic because of the way they treat Sean Young's character. Using the term snowflake for a dolphin is, like, apparently a derogatory term for, I guess, homosexuals, in a way? Snowflakes or something?
Yeah.
So now there's this whole movement to discredit Ace Ventura. And I started thinking about this, like, you know, things are a product of their time. Does it make them right? No. Mm-hmm. But things were understood differently then.
Birth of a Nation was what? A Klan recruitment?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I think the main problem is whenever he's like, he finds out he kissed a man.
And then they're all puking and like all of them apparently had sex with her. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, if you look back on it, okay, yes, it's probably not correct towards transgender people.
Yeah.
But are we going to discredit everything that came out in the past because times have changed now? I mean, you watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. They use the word faggot like 3 times in the movie.
Yeah.
But It doesn't make the movie less funny. Does it make it right they use that word? No. But it's very much a product of their time.
Yeah.
And that can go back. Archie Bunker, All in the Family. He's racist as fuck. But the show is funny. And again, it's a product of its time. The Jeffersons had their own things. It was about black families, but yet it was very racist towards white people in that show. Mm-hmm. But yet it was funny and people enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like there's this movement lately to discredit anything that's old because it wasn't politically correct at that time. It doesn't, you know, and again, it doesn't make it right that they did it at that time, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't have to not exist either. You know, does that make sense?
Well, there's only one show that I can honestly say that I can't watch it anymore with a clear conscience, and it's The Cosby Show.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Yeah.
That's just like...
That's definitely an example for me personally.
Yeah.
It's a personal hero, you know.
Right.
It's like, talking about Fall from Grace.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Like, I remember watching... I watched Baby Driver not long after the Kevin Spacey allegations, and it was weird. It was like, this is kind of creepy watching this now, you know, with Kevin Spacey in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and no, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But you know, we don't not teach history to kids in school because it was wrong. We don't teach them that because we all know now, obviously, that slavery is wrong.
Yeah.
But we still teach it. We don't do away with it because it's part of our history. It's part of what made America. And the same thing with movies. They're part of their own history and they're part of different times. And there's no reason to do away with a movie just because it was improper 25 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
So otherwise, you could get rid of a lot of things in libraries, you know?
Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yeah, so, you know.
Where the firemen are not firemen. They're like your typical firemen. They're burning
books. Oh, you're Fahrenheit...
14 for something. You know.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite books of all time.
Yeah.
Which they made an HBO movie, finally, with Michael B. Jordan. I need to watch that. Because I always wanted that movie to be filmed. And but that's Ray Bradbury. Great, great book. One of my favorite all-time books.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was Kurt Vonnegut.
No.
Huh.
But, no. Fahrenheit, no. Damn it, now you're going to make me... Fahrenheit 451, right?
451.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah, no, it's Bradbury.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So, you know, but yeah, it's just... You move on from things, you accept it for what it is. It doesn't necessarily make it right all the time, but you can't discredit everything. Now, what you can do is discredit people like this new documentary of Michael Jackson. You know, The Simpsons has dropped their episode. Radio stations across the nation are not playing his music all
sudden. I saw that.
Leaving Neverland or whatever it's called. And we all kind of knew that Michael Jackson was a bit of a creep. And now, you know, after his death, they're trying to discredit him more with this documentary. Maybe it's true. I don't know. The problem with documentaries, anything on television, is it can be fabricated, you know.
And it's one-sided,
yeah, too. It's always one-sided.
And they're making this for money.
Money. You know, you never know. Like Blackfish was a horrible documentary trying to discredit SeaWorld, but it was so negative towards SeaWorld. It showed nothing that the good that SeaWorld did.
Yeah.
It was also one-sided. And I'm not going to watch the Michael Jackson documentary, but I just found it interesting how so quickly, in just a matter of 24 hours, people's attitudes towards Michael Jackson change and radio stations are dropping him. And it just shows you the society we are in right now where people are judging quickly. You know, the Me Too movement and everything like that, and people getting Chris Hardwick. We've seen it with him getting discredited before even proven guilty. What happened to being guilty before proven or innocent before being proven guilty?
Now it's like you accuse someone of something, and it's their job to immediately prove that you are wrong and that they are right. Instead of innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
Now. You have to defend yourself.
And it's just kind of crazy the world we live in. And I'm not trying to be too serious on the show, but some things bother me this week, you know. And just like I had a little rant on Twitter earlier, I saw Long retweeted about, read another fucking story about a kid got sick because his parents didn't vaccinate him.
Yep.
Like, fucking stop it, man. That's what's going to cause downfall of this earth. Not nuclear war, some shit. It's going to be the motherfucking plague's going to come back because somebody didn't vaccinate their kids.
Yep.
You know? It doesn't, you know.
That's like, speaking about that, I saw someone tried to say, oh, Luke Perry didn't die because of a stroke. He died because 2 days earlier he got a vaccine for pneumonia.
Oh, bullshit.
And they tried to say it was because of the vaccine.
No.
And I'm like, no, dude. I'm like, you know, I was like, there are many doctors and the CDC posts plenty of evidence showing you how vaccines work.
Like the they've already many times have discredited that autism is caused by vaccines. Vaccines don't cause it, but yet you still have these believers that believe it. But you know what? There's still people who believe the Earth is flat. So, you know.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was that Senate hearing or congressional hearing. It was the teenage boy who gave himself vaccines despite, you know, his mom.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah.
And, you know, the senator was like saying, so why did you start taking vaccines? And he's like, because I read the CDC, like actual cited, accredited sources.
Right.
And my mom, she gets her information from Facebook, like just throwing her under the bus.
Yeah,
it was
like,
so funny.
He's like, I tried to show my mom that, you know, hey, these medical institutions are, this is the evidence, and you know, we need to get vaccinated. And he said that she would come back with someone's post on Facebook. That's like if we were like, no, Frank said that the Earth is flat.
Oh, Frank. He probably would believe that. But anyway, too serious. I got called out, dude. I'm gonna give my boy Pedro a shout out on the show.
Uh-oh.
He walked into work today. He's like, man, fuck you. I'm like, what? He's like, you don't diss Selena, man. I'm like,
yes.
I was just playing. He knew I was just playing. He goes, man, I didn't know they were going to have a holiday for it until I listened to your show. I was like, yeah. He goes, but even he said, yeah, it seems kind of silly to have a holiday for someone. But he was messing with me. So, you know.
Did you see that supposedly March 1st is going to be called Cardi B Day?
Why? I didn't even know who that was till 2 months ago.
Yeah. I guess her. I don't know. I guess. I don't know if this is another, you know, politician that's trying to make it this way, or there's a petition going out. But I'm like, you know what? Selena would be a better cause.
I have a Chris Hardwick story.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do. It was on Twitter. I think Matt might remember this.
Mm-hmm.
I told him too, like years ago. So Chris Hardwick on Twitter was talking about he's going to have this guest on his next show on The Nerdist or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted, you know, at Chris Hardwick, you know, just saying, oh, are you going to, like, actually let the guests talk after you ask them a question? Or are you going to keep interrupting them so you could put yourself over? And then he says, fuck you, to me.
That's hilarious.
And I said, yeah, well, block. I just blocked him.
That's funny.
When I was heavily into The Walking Dead,
yeah,
I would watch The Talking Dead afterwards. And you're absolutely right. I don't really, like, hate Hardwick. I think he's okay in small doses. But he used to do that all the time.
Interrupt,
like,
guests.
If you have Andrew Lincoln on there, let Andrew talk. We don't want to hear you talk. We want to hear what Rick Grimes has to say about the show.
I know.
And Hardwick was terrible about that,
Rick,
man.
Rick Grimes.
You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I know exactly what you mean. Like, dude, let him talk.
Yeah, yeah. And, I called him out.
And my boy Kevin Smith, who I love Kevin Smith, Kevin can be guilty of that, too. It's like, all right, Kevin, sometimes be quiet. Let people you're interviewing talk. You know, but I think Kevin's better at it than
Kevin has Hardwick. A phallic obsession, I've noticed.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was listening to his latest Batman Beyond podcast today, actually, and he actually talked about that. He had to, he did an interview at Sundance with Lorena Bobbitt.
Because, oh, my God.
There's a documentary coming out about her.
Yeah.
And he was like, are you sure I'm the right guy to talk to a lady who cut off a man's penis? I'm like, I'm the dick and fart guy joke. He actually made his own joke about himself. So I think he knows that. So it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
He goes, but it actually turned out really good. She was really quite the lady about it. You know?
Yeah.
So it was pretty funny. So he did call himself out on that. Yeah. So he knows.
Hey, she created a job. That guy whose penis had to get sewn back on, he starred in a porno. So she created a job.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she benefited society.
Yep.
Or gay society. Anyway. Let's get into today's show. Wow. We've hit all notes in the first 10 minutes of the show.
I'd like to apologize to our listeners.
No. And, we've hit racism issues, homophobic issues, boobs, dicks, everything in the first 10 minutes.
Yes, you know? Everything.
Whatever. We're all
and now
I am not a misogynist like these two are.
A misogynist?
We're all encompassing.
Misogynist.
Because I know a guy that would probably want you to be a misogynist.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So we're going to talk a really great feature film today in a few minutes, Princess Mononoke, which is an amazing movie.
Mm-hmm.
But we always start the show with Download This, where we tell you what we've consumed this week, watched, downloaded. You guys go first, because I kind of slacked off. I did watch something, but I just didn't want to watch a lot.
Yeah. I played more Destiny 2 this week. I've been trying to complete this really cool quest on there. I really like Destiny. But I feel like I am starting to get burnt out on it a little bit. I don't find it as fun as
I'm taking a break from Spider-Man because I was playing it so much, and I'm at 65%. I backed off a little bit, and I'll come back to it.
Yeah,
I do that sometimes too with games, you know, just because you feel like, okay, let it breathe a little bit. I know guys can sit down and complete a game in like 3 days and be done.
Yeah,
me, I like to kind of enjoy them.
And then I watched Logan. I wanted to watch Logan again, and man, it's just sad watching him.
It's a depressing movie.
Such a good fucking movie, though.
It is good. It's like, you know best, he dies at the end.
Best of the X-Men films, though, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible movie. I mean, we were texting the other day talking about, somebody had asked, are there three Marvel films, and they just general Marvel films, that are better than Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy? And honestly, Logan might be the only one I can think comes close to any of Nolan's Batman films, or as a trilogy. Now, I mean, maybe some are better than Batman Begins, but if you take Nolan's whole trilogy, Logan and maybe Infinity War might be the only two that even come close. You know, I mean, the first Avengers is good, but it's...
Winter Soldier, I still think
Winter Soldier, good. That was the other one me and Matt mentioned. Yeah. Winter Soldier, Infinity War, and Logan might be the only three Marvel films that even come close to Nolan's Dark Knight.
No trilogy comes close.
No.
You can pick films here and there, but yeah, no trilogy.
If Brett Ratner hadn't screwed up X-Men 3, you might have maybe the X-Men first three X-Men films. But even then, X-Men 1 would have been a little too weak.
Yeah.
But, you know. So Logan. Anything you watched, consume this week,
Logan? No, I actually spent this week trying to set up my little studio for making YouTube videos. All these Transformers toys I've been talking about and acquiring.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to start doing little mini reviews on each of the figures that I get.
Heck yeah.
Now, do you have your own YouTube, or you want to put it on Rebel Radio?
I'm not going to put it on Rebel Radio.
Come on, dude.
Heck no.
Come on.
Yeah,
I got 88 subscribers already for my YouTube
channel.
That's
pretty good. I think we're like at 24, maybe. And we could get more if Arnold would make some videos, but he's been slacking.
It's true, he has been slacking.
Big time slacking.
I need to buy him a cigar.
That money's going to me. That effort's going to me. I'm a Republican in that regard.
I didn't watch much. I watched the first episode of The Umbrella Academy because it's been getting a lot of buzz on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It is good.
It's
based on a comic. I didn't realize it was the guy from My Chemical Romance.
Yeah,
he helped write the comic. It stars Ellen Page. She's the only real known actress that's in it that I know of. Some of the other people are somewhat recognizable.
Benedict Wong's in it?
I guess he must appear later because he wasn't in the first episode.
Oh, I see.
But, you know, it's really good, man. It's like, you know, 43 women all get pregnant suddenly and have babies within minutes. And there's like seven that are basically adopted by this millionaire. And he dies and they're trying to figure out they think someone killed him. Is essentially what happens in the first episode. You're introduced to all the characters, and it's really sharply shot, really kind of that Kingsman style, you know, where a lot of just quick editing and quickly shot, so it doesn't lose your attention.
Yeah.
But it's really really well written and crafty, and it's not overly adult. It's like TV-14, so you know, it's not overly violent, not a lot of sex or anything like that in it. But I like it so far.
No.
You know, I think I'm going to give it a chance.
Jack has been watching it.
I think I'm going to give it a chance. I think I'll stick with it, man. I like the first episode enough to... It's only 10 episodes. So I think I'll finish it off. And, you know, so pretty good stuff, man. I was just looking for something, and it's been getting a lot of buzz. It's already been, I guess, renewed for maybe season 2 and 3, I think I saw.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So Netflix came pretty quick to renew that one. So, good stuff. The Umbrella Academy on Netflix. So, but I'm on vacation this week. So next week, download this. I'm going to bring it. I'm going to watch some shit this week, okay? Don't worry.
You're going to bring it.
I'm going to consume things into my brain.
Porn.
Including porn.
Yes.
Including Captain Marvel at some point in the next week for faux show.
Faux show.
Yeah, I'm seeing that 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I'm withholding expectations. I'll enjoy it, but I'm not like, you know, busting at the seams for this. So, is this the first... No, Ant-Man and Wasp, this first movie... I was thinking it was the first movie since Infinity War, but... is this Ant-Man and Wasp really a count movie? It just felt like really lackluster after Infinity War.
It's a stopgap. Stopgap movie.
Big time stopgap.
I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it better than the first one.
Did you really?
Yeah, because of the close-up magic.
Yeah.
Just all the Quantum Realm stuff and I thought was cooler than the first one.
Did you see the spoiler, supposed spoiler that was released?
I'm avoiding spoilers.
It was a burn Reddit account. Someone created a Reddit account and posted the first two acts.
If it's even real.
With everything that we've seen, it looks real.
Maybe. You never know.
I
also think some guys are just smart.
It has some stuff like Tony uses Nebula to repair the ship.
Spoilers.
And get off.
Spoilers.
Uses the quantum realm to go in the future.
I'm plugging my ears.
Why are you just spoiling everything?
Yeah. Well, we don't know if it's spoiler.
But I mean, that's also stuff you can put together just from watching a little TV.
I don't even want to hear speculation either.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who knows? We'll find out on April 27th.
We already know they go back in time because of the pictures that have leaked. But yeah, Scott.
Well,
Scott,
no. Well, was it Samuel Jackson kept saying that Captain Marvel's super abilities were time travel, also, but it turned out that he was just trolling.
Yeah. The big thing on here is that they get confused because they think Thanos is back, but it's really Captain Marvel, and it looks like she's getting the. She's giving off the same kind of energy as a Infinity Gauntlet. And so they use her when they go back in time and they visit the different instances where these Infinity Stones were in place. They use her energy signature and create copies of the Infinity Stones and make their own gauntlet.
Maybe. I read something along those lines, but also a lot of that is taken from the comics. And see, they did that in the comics, though, where they copy the stone. And if they go that same route in the movies, maybe, But I would hope the Russo brothers are smarter than that and don't go the same route as the comic books. But I guess apparently in the comics, though, they do that, where they make a copy of the gauntlet and all that.
So yeah.
I'm hoping that it's not that simple. I would like it to be a little more,
Avengers is only next month, isn't it?
Yeah, about 6 weeks away. Yeah. I probably will see it Saturday. It's hard for me to do movies during the week on a Thursday or Friday with school for the kids and everything. Mm-hmm. So it'd have to be probably Saturday afternoon after karate, which that's fine. I can do that.
Karate.
Well, let's get into today's featured film.
Matt, the spoiler.
Yes. supposedly.
Studio Ghibli. I don't know why. Studio Ghibli. Is a animation studio out of Japan started by Miyazaki. See, I fucking said it right. Yes. And, and they're considered the Disney of Japan and been making remarkable movies going back to the 80s. And this movie is probably, maybe arguably its most popular one. Yeah, maybe Spirited Away. And in recent years, Ponyo is very popular with the kids. Yeah,
Ponyo. Totoro.
Howl's Moving Castle. But we're talking Princess Mononoke, which is maybe his most complex film. In some
it
ways,
is. It is.
It's such a deep film with so many themes and so much going on. It's funny. I just watched this not that long ago, probably around the holidays. But I watched it again this week, and I didn't realize. I always forget how complex this film is, as far as a lot going on. It's very epic for an animated film. Adventurous and so many layers to it and so much happening in this film that you really have to pay attention to this to know everything that's going on. A lot of deep themes in it that deal with environments and taking care of our planet, but yet in a fantastical kind of way,
because
the film is very much a fantasy film.
There's a quote that he has that you can basically kind of see the underlying theme in this entire film, and he says, "The concept of portraying evil and then destroying it, I know it is considered mainstream, but I think it is rotten. This idea that whenever something evil happens, someone particular can be blamed for it, in life and in politics, is hopeless." So there's
Who said that?
Miyazaki.
Oh, okay.
So in this movie, there's no bad guy. There's just opposing viewpoints. Everyone just has a different point of view.
Well, let me ask, is this the first time you've ever seen this, or have you seen it before?
I've seen it before, but I guess I just didn't remember it very well. I mean, 97, I was 11.
It didn't hit America until 99, so you might not even watch it until mid-2000s.
Yeah, I know I was young.
Yeah, because a lot of these movies, weren't even accessible until like when Spirited Away came out in 2002.
Switzerland didn't even get this until 2000.
When Disney bought the rights to a lot of the films in 2001 and released Spirited Away, Spirited Away was still released by Miramax, I believe, in theaters. But then Disney in the mid-2000s bought all the distribution rights and started putting them out on Blu-ray and DVD. And a lot of people didn't get to see these movies until the mid-2000s because they weren't available. You know, unless you were like a hardcore anime person and knew where to look and find them.
Yeah, and Fox Family Video had My Neighbor Totoro. Yeah, a
few things on VHS
and Kiki's DVD. Delivery Service. Yeah. And, remember the clamshells?
Yes.
Yeah. When was the first time you saw Princess Mononoke?
It's a pretty long story on my part, but I remember I used to work for a local anime review site called... it was an affiliate of Planet Anime, the store that used to be on Times Boulevard. It was Anime Crush. I don't know if I forget. Right. But I was reviewing for that website as an editor. And I remember sitting in the theater at River Oaks, you know, to watch the special screening of it. And I was blown away by the movie.
That's cool you got to see it in
a
theater.
Yeah, so. In a theater full of anime nerds. Oh, my God.
Yes.
No, it's terrible. Well, it's not terrible. It's just like you're sitting there waiting for the movie to start, and you always hear all these stupid, smart-ass quips every other person kept saying. They always have to comment on something sarcastically, and it's like, oh, God, make it stop. But it's like, please start the movie, you know, and stuff like that. But it was a pretty interactive audience with the movie. Mm-hmm. They reacted and all. But no, I was blown away. I couldn't tell what part of the movie was 2D and computer generated, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. Very little of it, I think.
Very, very little.
It's all mostly hand-drawn.
Something like 600 individual animated sequences and then like something like 60,000 animated cells.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the last film he did where he truly hand-drew everything and did use some CGI to correct things where... And then he went on to do Spirited Away, which has a lot of hand animation too, but they use more CGI in it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful film. It really is. It looks amazing. It's very colorful.
Yeah.
Very well animated. I was watching it and noticed, like, it's funny, even in Disney stuff sometimes, you'll see certain scenes that there's flaws in it, you know? And this movie's almost perfect. I didn't notice anything wrong as I'm watching it. It's
technically speaking,
both. Yeah. Technically speaking, it's I didn't see any animation flaws or anything. Every scene is entirely detailed from every little blood speck to worm on the worm on the demon wolf or anything.
Yeah.
And it's remarkably well done in that aspect. And watching it reminds you how great hand animation is. You know, we're spoiled by CG animation now.
Yeah. Plus, it's very epic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A very cinematic film.
The battle scenes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the battle scenes, yeah.
Yeah.
And an incredible music score, which is something you don't always get in an animated film, but this musical score in this film is really, really good. Mm-hmm. It adds to the scenes and gives it that epic sense that the movie deserves. And I think the first time I saw the movie was probably after Spirited Away. You know, I saw Spirited Away in theaters, and at that point, I think my only other Miyazaki film I had seen was Kiki's Delivery Service. I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to, and I heard about Princess Mononoke, but never got to see it. And I think I saw it around the time that Disney got the distribution rights. And I remember renting it on DVD. I was like, yeah, I'm going to rent this. You know, we still had Blockbuster back then, you know, and you could rent movies. And so I rented it, and I remember really liking it a lot. And I guess I didn't realize how complex it was till maybe this is a movie you almost have to watch two or three times to really pick up on everything. And, And Matt, that's what you said. I absolutely did pick up on that there is no true villain in this film. There's basically three different warring factions in this film that all have different viewpoints of whether they're right. You have the forest, you know, the wolves and stuff, and protecting the forest. And you have the ladies' clan, Minnie Driver's character. Her clan
believes, Lady Ibushi.
Yeah,
Ibushi.
They believe that they're protecting their lands. And then you have... Yeah, I can't say his name. I should, the lead character.
Ashitaka.
Yeah. Ashitaka.
You know, and as he goes on this journey to find a cure for his hand, he has his own viewpoints of things. Like, he doesn't really take sides. He kind of plays both sides, you know. And so it's interesting that the movie doesn't have a true villain. Yeah. in it.
You know? No, yeah, the thing is they have clear goals.
Right.
You know, very clear goals. And Lady Ibushi, yeah, she's the antagonist, but her story is that she has set up a city for, you know, outcasts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at what she's done. Even the lepers. Look at how they depict the lepers.
She took care of the lepers, yeah.
Unlike in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves with Kevin Costner, you know, you have Friar Tuck saying, is that your finger dropping right there? Oh, yeah. And it's very popular to depict lepers as, you know, very inhuman. But here, they have a purpose. They're happy. They have a garden.
Yeah.
Even the...
The women.
The hookers, yeah.
Yeah, the former hookers.
Former hookers, they have a purpose, and she's profiteering from more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's using it to give these people purpose and a good place to live, and she believes in what she's doing and defending them, and that, yeah.
It's funny, is when a weekend that Captain Marvel comes out, this film has very powerful female characters in it.
Yeah.
Their animation, they're not real characters, brought to life by actresses other than by voice, but they're really well done, and they're fleshed out characters. And Miyazaki's always does that well in all of his films, that you never feel like there's a throwaway character in his movies. I've noticed that with everything he does, that every character usually, if a character has a speaking line in his films, they usually serve a purpose of some sort. He doesn't really just throw characters away. He uses everything, and that's also very much a product of Japanese films and cinema. Even John Woo's action films, there's purpose to all their characters, and that's something I think sometimes American directors will lose in things. They'll just throw away a character, you know, and that's one thing I really like about his movies.
The one thing I liked about this film is that a lot of anime at that time and even now have this problem with being too much exposition in their dialogue. They start explaining things that aren't relevant to the story.
Yeah.
You know, they go on and on and on about philosophical stuff. But this movie, no. Mm. It just shows you what's at stake.
Yeah.
You know,
very mature.
Yeah.
I mean, the opening scene...
It doesn't get
scene,
too preachy, you know?
Yeah.
The opening scene sets the tone for the entire, entire movie. Whenever, you know, he...
The demon?
He has consequences for his actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, he feels like, you know, he was doing the right thing, that he was, you know, a boy trying to be a man and protecting the female villagers and taking down the infected boar. I think Rama is the real name of the
boar.
The boar. And the village, you can see the village doesn't even blame the boar. The god and that the wayward god inside the boar, they just, you know, wish it, you know, passing easily, and
even as it taunts him in death,
even as it taunts him in death, and he refers to Ashitaka as a boy up until he says whenever Ashitaka cuts his hair off, because apparently the homeowners association doesn't allow you to have a bun whenever you're outcast from the village. He says whenever he cuts off his bun, he becomes nothing. And those are the consequences of his actions. You know, instead of being a hero, now he doesn't have an identity. He hides his face up until his, you know, sister, you know, gives him the arrowhead.
Mm.
Which he gives it away so easily. It's like the last thing you get from your sister, and then he's going to give it to Hite Mononoke.
Yeah. And that's another interesting thing. The title of this film is Princess Mononoke, and she's not even really the main character in the film.
No.
And she's only referred to as by Princess Mononoke, what, twice in the movie?
Yeah.
Other than that, she goes by the name of San. Is that how you say it? San?
Yeah.
And which is very much, for American audience, might have been confused by that. It's very much a Japanese culture thing, because that was her surname, and that's what they go by in the film. And but... she is very important to the plot, obviously, the film, because that's his whole point. Is that he feels that if he can help her, he can have his curse cured. And but yet, at the same time, the movie's ultimately about him as much as it is about these other factions. And that's the interesting thing about this movie. I felt that it's titled as Princess Mononoke, but it's so much more than that. It's about all these different people that all have, like you said, they all have their goals in mind.
Yeah, his goal was to stop the conflict.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, to stop the fighting and the hatred. You know, and be so that way, you know, they'd stop fighting long enough so he could find the cure for himself.
Yeah.
Man, that arm makes him badass, though.
Yeah.
It's like, and he's like, that arrow is like, he's like a jacked up Robin Hood on steroids, dude. Took off two arms, took off a head.
two heads. Shot. I counted. Yeah.
Two heads. Yeah.
There's some truly heads. Shocking moments of this for animation.
Yeah.
You know, because at the time, for a movie that was widely released in America and was successful, you know, Americans still weren't used to that yet. If you were watching anime, you had already seen stuff like Akira and Ninja Scroll and knew it was adult. Mm-hmm. But this movie being released to the masses, it was pretty violent.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think it helped it for not spewing blood from those wounds.
Yeah.
That's what kept it from going into PG-13 or rated R.
But it works. And, you know, in the American version, like, it's got a really great voice cast, you know. Billy Bob Thornton is not someone you would think of as being a voice actor, but he's really good, his character in this. And
yeah.
It sounds like him at times, but he really also
his character is so slimy, too.
Yeah,
you notice that he talks a big talk, yeah. But when it comes to actually doing the deed, he makes someone else do it for him.
Yeah,
but Thornton gives him a good personality, too. Yeah. That slimy personality, it works so well.
That's the character that gives Asitaka a place to live. And he says something interesting, and you know, Ashitaka, he's like, my arm's cursed, and then he's like, the whole world is cursed.
Billy Crudup is excellent as Ashitaka. He's just got that calming voice Billy Crudup does, and he even in his live action films, he always has that voice that is just very calming, and I think it works for Ashitaka because he's in between all these conflicts. And he's trying to keep himself centered and focused on what he wants to do to get cured. And I think having that calming voice actor works. Minnie Driver is great as Lady I'm going to screw up her name.
Ibushi.
Gillian Anderson plays one of the wolves from, you know, Scully herself from the X-Files.
Morrow.
And she plays it in such a way, but it's, like, really powerful. You know, like, when she speaks, you're like, you're going to listen to her.
Yeah.
And I thought that this is a very impressive American voice cast for a...
How about that red elk, huh? That's one loyal steed, huh?
Yes, the red elk.
for a Japanese translated film. And I didn't realize when I was reading, I didn't realize that Neil Gaiman helped adapt a lot of this for American...
They
brought Neil Diamond?
No, Neil Gaiman.
Oh, I'm like, what?
No, comic book writer. They brought Neil Gaiman in to translate a lot of this because he was such a huge fan of the film in Japanese that they brought him in to help translate a lot of the American translations. Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Translated the song, too.
You know, I didn't know that. And, you know, but man, the movie is just, it's so deep. You could sit here for an hour and try to break down the themes of this film and the ideas of the environment.
Yeah.
And
there's an interesting point that Miyazaki made. He said that when you talk to the individual antagonist characters, they're pretty cool when you talk to them, when the character talks to them one-on-one. But once they're in a group, they act differently when they're in a group situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that, okay, well, you know, they're cool. Human being side is dropped the minute they have to, you know, like Billy Bob Thornton's character was a personable monk, and then he becomes a ruthless jerk, you know. And Lady Ibushi, she's pretty cool. You talk to her, you know. Yeah. Their conversation's pretty understandable, but once you know she's in front of people, they have to be ruthless.
And then he, you know, this is one of his most personal films he ever made. He said that, and he's even said that he feels that it's a movie that people will not completely understand for many years. Like, he thinks that this is his one movie. He goes, I know I made it, and I know it's complex. He goes, and I know people will talk about it for many years and what the true meanings are behind it. And I think I read somewhere that he says he's never really talked to anybody that really has completely understood everything he was going for in this film.
I can name you a movie that's kind of similar in the same vein, and that's the director's cut of Kingdom of Heaven. I mean, a lot of important players in that movie that have, you know, very bad conflicting motivations.
Yeah.
But you know, Orlando Bloom's character is more focused on saving the lives of
That director's cut Jerusalem. One day. I remember I saw that movie in theaters and just didn't like it, but I've heard the director's cut so much better.
Liam Neeson plays a mentor again, and he's like, he shows him that, you know, the tip of the blade is not the Ridley only Scott? Part of the weapon.
Yeah.
Oh, Ridley Scott? Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, director's cut is the best way to go
for
that movie.
But Princess Mononoke is quite just an amazing film. If you've never seen this, I hope we said enough to make you want to watch it. You should be watching Studio Ghibli films anyways. I mean, if you're a true film fan, these are films that should be part of your film-going experience.
There's one Miyazaki film Well, Miyazaki didn't direct it, but it's made by Studio Ghibli. Mm-hmm. And it was Graveyard of the Fireflies.
I haven't seen that. Mm-hmm. I heard it's really good.
I don't want to see it because it's like...
I heard it's sad, though.
Extremely sad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even like Roger Ebert said that it was like the first time... the only animated movie he's ever watched that actually brought him to tears.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Because
it's true life accounts animated.
And you know, the studio has done a lot of their films, and Miyazaki hasn't directed all them, but he is he's a very hands-on producer. Like The Secret Life of Arrietta? You know, he oversaw that film, and I actually really like that one. That's one of my more favorite ones.
Yeah. Did you ever see The Wind Calls? The one about the aircraft engineer who designed the Mitsubishi Zero?
No,
that was his second to last film.
Yeah. And like Ponyo was really great. He always wanted to make a kids movie.
Never seen
like
it.
A true kids movie, so he made Ponyo for the kids, and it's fantastic. Ponyo is really good. It's definitely much more kid friendly. Completely different from Princess Mononoke.
Yeah,
because it's much more at a little kid level. But Ponyo is excellent. Of course, Spirited Away is very well known. Everyone loves that movie. And Spirited Away is a great movie too.
Yeah.
And
there's this mini doc. I saw a clip of Miyazaki in the animation studio, and he was looking at a cell from one of his key animators, and he was saying, "You call this a drawing? This is like garbage. Garbage. What did I hire you for?" He's like verbally abusive.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like about him going from 2D drawing and then showing him how he's trying to do the 3D CG animation. It's kind of cool seeing him like going from 2D animation and learning how to do computer animation. Yeah,
and he's not done yet. He's done some short films, and apparently he is going to do one more long film. He says he's working. You know, I don't know if it's going to get made because he says he doesn't want to work till he dies. He's talked about that before, that he wants to enjoy retirement some, and he came out of retirement to do a couple of short films after Ponyo and the Wind Calls that you talked about, and apparently he's got one more in the works.
Caterpillar?
Well, the Caterpillar is
that's
the short
one
film.
I was talking about.
That's the short film.
Because that's what he was going to make instead of this one.
Yeah.
For his museum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
I think the Caterpillar thing has turned into a short film.
Yeah.
I think. But apparently he's got a long film he wants to do too. But before we close out Prince Mononoke, you have a favorite? I really like the opening sequence of this movie. I think this opening sequence is as good as The Dark Knight or any other live action amazing opening sequence. It really captivates you right away into the epicness of this film. And that's my favorite scene.
And it sets the tone.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one. Either that or I guess whenever Lady Ibushi kills the forest spirit.
Yeah.
And then gets her arm ripped off.
Wasn't it sad seeing all those little Kodomos falling from the trees, dying?
Yes.
Well, she foreshadows that in the film. You know, she says, "I'm just going to rip your arm off for you," and then she gets her own arm cut off later on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I was talking about the Kodomos.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Which is funny, because they have tons of those action figures. And those things are straight out of Studio Ghibli. I mean, that's the kind of Studio Ghibli acid trip, late night Arby's kind of character that you see in
Seeing the Nightwalker for the first time was cool.
And then
the spirit is just, it's funny that you think the spirit's going to heal his arm, but really he just fixes the gunshot wound.
But saves
his life, but didn't take care of the curse.
Spirits, pigs are all common themes in Miyazaki films, and there's a couple more in this movie that you find in other films that come back.
The characters
transforming.
Yeah,
that's very much a Miyazaki thing.
Yeah,
you know, he likes to have characters transform and see different sides of their personalities and things like that.
Just like the weird spirit at the spa and you spirited away.
Yep.
Yeah. You long?
The first appearance of the Nightwalker.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the flashback of the battle between the boars and the Lady Ibushi.
That is a good one.
Yeah, it's a very short snippet, but man, just seeing them animate all those boars running, and I'm like, oh, I'm glad I'm not an animator.
Yeah.
You know, so many great scenes.
No, this is quite a good movie. Arguably could be the best that Studio Ghibli's done. Spirited Away is very good too. It's very popular. But this might be the most complex for sure, and something that, like I said, people are going to talk about for many years. It came out in 97, and here we are, 2019, 20 years later, still talking about this movie because it's held up so well, and it's fantastic. that's all I got to say about it. Calls from y'all.
I need to see that one, The Wind Calls. Mm. I want to see that.
Yeah.
And
you should watch Ponyo, too. You'll enjoy it. It's definitely much more kid-friendly, but I actually want
to see really Nausicaa. Cute.
Yeah. You can borrow it. I have it. Oh, cool. Yeah, you can borrow it. Yeah, Nausicaa's good. It's definitely a bit slower because it's the time it was made, but I like it. I actually think it's a good movie. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think I've watched anything from Studio Ghibli I haven't liked. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
I was kind of neutral towards Howl's Moving Castle. I didn't really like it that much. I thought it was impressive looking. I've only
seen
it
once, I guess.
Yeah. I didn't have any desire to see it again.
Yeah.
Spirited Away, I was forced to watch because my stepdaughter at the time loved that movie. Yeah.
But it is so good.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me want to go to a sauna.
And get purified.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So check out Princess Mononoke if you never have. And, Enjoy it. It's really good.
Yes.
Really good. This is almost a 10 out of 10 movie.
Indeed. Yeah. 9.5.
Yeah. Great film. So let's do some news. Kind of.
Two trailers came out.
Which trailers? I might have missed those.
You
got it.
We mentioned the Cobra Kai
trailer
came out yesterday. The Phoenix, Dark Phoenix trailer came out earlier in the week.
Yeah. Didn't we talk about that last week?
No, it came out Sunday.
Okay.
You know, so we didn't really.
Yeah.
We mentioned it.
Yeah. But I'm April 24th for Cobra Kai.
Next month.
I'm excited. I don't have YouTube right now, but you know what? I'll do a free trial again. I'll make up a fake email and do a free trial binge watch that.
You got plenty of emails.
Yeah. And because, man, season one was awesome. We know Kreese is coming back in season two. We're going to see where this goes with
Daniels
it.
Daniels has his own school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Miyagi-Do. And, that show in so...
I give it a 10.
And that show in so many levels should not have worked. It just shouldn't have. But it works so fucking well.
It is. All the characters grow. I couldn't stop
watching it. Yeah. Like, I literally binge-watched all the... how many episodes? 10 or 12?
10, yeah.
And I went through them in like 2 days. It was just like, couldn't stop watching it. And granted, they're only like 25 minutes each, but still.
Everyone loves an underdog story. Yeah. And you find yourself rooting for these kids to stand up for themselves and beat the shit out of the bullies that, you know...
And there's moments that...
And they become the bullies.
And they become it, yeah. And they become
there's moments you incarnate. Cringed at the acting a little bit, but then you go, you know what? That's how the acting was back when the movie came out. You just took it for what it was.
Yeah.
Teach you to send a message back.
I love the look at how Johnny was portrayed as the bad guy from Karate Kid, or the good guy from Karate Kid. He wasn't as bad as he was made out to be. I think it was great, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And looking very much forward to season two. High on my list to watch, for sure. And Dark Phoenix, it just feels like, let's hand off the X-Men to the MCU.
I'm waiting for the reviews for that one.
Yeah. I didn't hate Apocalypse, but I didn't love it either. It just feels like, X-Men, it's time. Let's get to the MCU, see where we can go with it. You know, let's have the Avengers versus the X-Men. Let's see some cool shit.
Yes.
You know, let's do it. Let's switch to DC, man. So Will Smith is backed out, as we know last week. I guess Idris Elba's going to play Deadshot.
Yes.
I'm cool with that.
I'm cool with that,
you know,
too.
I mean, I love Idris. I think he's an awesome actor. I think he arguably could be a better Deadshot than Will Smith.
Did you see the roster?
Yeah.
The Suicide Squad. Polka Dot Man.
Yeah.
Polka Dot Man.
King Shark.
Classic James Gunn.
Yeah.
I guess Joel Kinnaman's not coming back as Rick Flag either, which is fine.
Ratcatcher.
Yeah. And
but it's going to be a female, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it just sounds apeshit crazy. It sounds like it's got James Gunn written all over it, obviously, with him coming and direct it. And,
I'm looking forward to it. And
yeah, because really, I wasn't a huge fan of the first one, so I'm hoping that I think this one will be better.
It's stupid that Disney fired him for something
that
for
they already
old
knew.
Tweets. Yeah.
And he already apologized for
it. Yeah, it's dumb. Yeah. Caving into, you know.
Media pressure.
No, it was freaking that alt-right asshole Mike Cernovich or whatever.
Yeah, and whenever Frank was on the show, he was like, oh, yeah, it's because of the snowflakes. And I'm like, no, I said... It's because of the people who make fun of the snowflakes that actually got James Gunn fired, Frank. I said, it's the opposite. I was like, don't look at it as that. Look at it as people. I was like, people do things vindictive to other people that have, you know, opposing viewpoints. That's what happened.
Yeah, I hope Dave Bautista's in it.
I hope so, too. Because
Dave Bautista says he'll go anywhere where James Gunn is going.
I mean, and I wish him all the best of luck, because I think he's going to go over there and make a hell of a killer Suicide Squad movie. And who knows what else he might end up doing for DC and Warner Brothers from this point on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Shazam's been getting some really good buzz.
Yes.
You know, they say it's a very good family movie. Yeah. You know,
I was thinking that at worst case scenario, it would be the Ant-Man, like Ant-Man is with Marvel, like enjoyable. You wish it was better, but it's still an enjoyable film.
Well, I guess they've
did you see Aquaman?
Not yet.
Dude.
Jackie saw it twice.
That movie is apeshit crazy.
Well, I guess they've kind of confirmed now that the DC Universe isn't existing. It's going to loosely exist. Like, Wonder Woman obviously knows Aquaman exists, but yet they're not really going to have, like, a big thing, which is probably a smart thing to do. Yeah. And it's kind of officially kicked off with Aquaman and going on to Shazam and next year with Wonder Woman.
The original Captain Marvel, by the way.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That used to confuse me, because I remember growing up as a kid, and Jean Grey was Ms. Marvel, which they ended up dropping that and just calling her Jean Grey. And then Shazam was Captain Marvel. Then I remember getting older, and there was Captain Marvel comics made by Marvel. I was like, wait, what is this?
Yeah.
And then they started to call Shazam. Then she wasn't Ms. Marvel anymore. They had a different comic book character named Ms. Marvel made by Marvel. And yeah, it was kind of confusing. So a lot of Marvels going around. But Shazam.
Shazam. That's a stupid name. Honestly, don't get me started.
So, you know, the Lord of the Rings, man, you know, was a huge, huge film saga, you know, back about 15 years ago, done by Peter Jackson, won all kinds of Academy Awards and stuff. And everyone knows that Amazon's bringing them to a live action series, you know, going to be like, take the new Game of Thrones, I guess, in some ways, only with a lot less sex, probably. I don't know a lot about the Lord of the Rings, but I guess they announced that it's going to take place in the Second Age. I don't know what that means.
I can tell you.
I guess it's before Aragorn is even born.
Yeah.
Oh, is that, like, based on the Silmarillion? Is Sauron rise to
that's
power?
That's the First Age.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And apparently the Second Age is thousands of years, and let me put
my Gandalf hat on.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm kind of a... I mean, I'm down for this. Don't get me wrong. I like the Lord of the Rings films. I like the Hobbit films for what they were, because I never read the Hobbit book, so I had no ball in I had no ball in the court to really be concerned it was three movies, you know, even though people said it should have been two. I don't care.
Yeah.
But so I'm looking forward to this TV series from Prime, but I have no idea what the Second Age is.
But I could tell you, really quick, the prologue of the first Lord of the Rings movie of Isildur and the final alliance of men and elves, that's the end of the Second Age.
And the forging of the rings and all that?
Yeah, the forging of the rings, all that was in the Second Age.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a prequel then, they've pretty much confirmed Lord of the Rings TV.
Yeah, and the First Age, I'm going to get so dirty. The First Age is about the Numenoreans who were...
Those two statues that you see in the first Lord of the Rings.
The first humans that immigrated over to Middle-earth, and they were immortal, and, you know, and the elves, and, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know much about
that. And then Sauron's rise to power.
Yeah.
And he killed his...
Sauron's rise to power was in the Second Age. Morgoth was his boss.
Yeah.
Morgoth was the evil of all evils.
Yeah.
And Sauron was one of the lieutenants, and... You know, the First Age is about the defeat of Morgoth, and then the Second Age is more about Sauron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it looks like Amazon's going all out on this. Amazon said casting should start soon. I guess they want to start filming by the...
They haven't started yet?
As far as they haven't started casting, but they're building sets from what I know. A lot of it's going to be on location shooting. Because it's coming out next year, so they must be starting shooting really soon. So I guess they're going to start casting and start shooting this fall. Well, there might have been some casting done. I just don't remember reading it.
But, I don't hear anything. So, I didn't hear anything.
So Lord of the Rings coming to your televisions or your Amazon Prime accounts next year. You know, so we'll be down for that. And can I read my own handwriting? Oh, speaking of trailers, did you guys see the Brightburn trailer?
Oh, yes. My God.
Dude, it's...
That's a horror movie. If I think I it's gonna. It.
You know, it's one of those that like it looks cool as shit, but I have a feeling it might not be that good. I don't know. It could end up sucking. But basically, the premise is: what if Superman came to Earth and was evil?
Yeah.
In some ways, my problem with the new trailer is it didn't really show us anything new. It was kind of just like the first trailer with like three new shots in it.
Yeah.
It's coming out in May, which is it's tough, man, because you know you're gonna be coming off the heels of Avengers. And John Wick and other big May movies.
Godzilla.
So will Brightburn get lost in all that? It feels like it could be cool, but it also feels like I'll see it on video.
Yeah.
You know, It's kind of my thought on it, you know.
It's a horror movie.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. Last bit of news, man. They announced the opening dates for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge in Disney. I'm broke as shit, so I'm probably not going to go for several years, but this is like the Star Wars fans' dream come true. It's basically live and breathe in the Star Wars universe at Disneyland and Disney World. Immersive rides where you sit inside the Falcon and go on a trip through space. Another ride where you're sitting in a battlefield and AT-ATs are walking over you and stuff.
Wow.
Have you guys watched any of the videos that are online of this stuff? It looks absolutely amazing.
Yeah, employees dressed as stormtroopers or
animatronic
aliens.
Characters like Hondo from Clone Wars and stuff like that that look and interact with you. It's quite amazing, but it's not going to be amazing when people are standing in line for 8 to 12 hours like they're expecting the first year at least.
Damn.
But it's... it's pretty cool that we can live in a world where we could go live and breathe Star Wars for a day. You know, and apparently there's going to be a secret lightsaber shop there that they're not going to tell you. Like, it's part of your mission going on. If you find it, you get to build a lightsaber.
And it's expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Like $400 or some shit like that?
Yeah, it's good. Ridiculously expensive. They were saying, I guess they're marketing for the T-shirts and stuff right now, and they're saying, like, T-shirts are like $40. I mean, it's gonna be a moneymaker for Disney.
I thought Disney World was in Florida, not in freaking New York.
But maybe one day I will save my money. I will go.
Yeah, I'll wait till the crowd dies down a bit.
Like 2021, about 2 years or something.
Yeah, 2 years after Last Jedi.
Yeah,
so and then, the hype will die down.
Well, and then everyone knows they're building Marvel World. It's like the best unkept secret. You know, once they finish Star Wars, they're going to build a Marvel World. So when Marvel World opens and everyone goes to that, you go to the Star Wars World. You know, so
that's a lot of swamps to be emptying over there.
Yeah, yep. And one day. All the news I got. I didn't leave nothing out there.
No, not really.
That's kind of a slow news week. So, okay. So, we're getting closer and closer to Comicpalooza 2019. So, we've got a big theme month coming up in April. But we're going to finish out March with a couple of other epic films after we just did this epic film today. So, we just decided this right before the show, but we're going to talk Steven Spielberg's classic Jaws.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic. It lives to kill. A mindless eating machine. It will attack and devour anything. It is as if God created the devil and gave him jaws. This is Universal's extraordinary motion picture version of Peter Benchley's best-selling novel, Jaws.
I just found out that a girl got killed here last week. And you knew it. You knew there was a shark out there. You knew it was dangerous. But you let people go swimming anyway.
You yell barracuda. Everybody says, huh?
What?
You yell shark. We've got a panic on our hands on the 4th of July.
Is it true that most people get attacked by sharks in 3 feet of water, about 10 feet from the beach?
Yeah.
What we are dealing with here is a perfect engine, an eating machine.
We're not only gonna have to close the beach, we're gonna have to hire somebody to kill the shark.
Bad fish, but I'll catch him and kill him.
Did you hear your father? Out of the water now!
This shark, swallow you whole.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
That's a 20-footer.
25. 3 tons of them.
Hold it up, he's coming straight for us. Don't screw it up now.
Don't wait for me. Now! Shoot!
man's fantasies of evil can compare with the reality of Jaws. Roy Scheider, Robert Shaw, Richard Dreyfuss, Jaws. See it before you go swimming.
Yes.
The movie that Frank doesn't like. Remember that one episode where he's like, I don't like Jaws? I'm like, how do you not fucking like Jaws? It's a classic, epic film. Why am I hearing music?
Dude. We started talking about
the toy going off or something.
We're going to get the head, the tail, the whole damn thing.
But, man,
Shark in the Water.
A great, great movie. I mean, almost a perfect movie.
Have it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, one of the best movies of all time. It's a movie that made people afraid to go swim.
Yeah,
And it brought sharks to the limelight. This movie did so much. It created the summer blockbuster in a lot of ways, even before Star Wars came out.
In my opinion, the best non-Star Wars score by John Williams.
Yeah, excellent John Williams score. Excellent acting by Richard Dreyfuss and the other actors in the film. Should be a good one to talk about, obviously. I think we'll have fun with this.
I think so, too.
And will you be afraid to go in the water?
Probably.
I mean, this has Alamo Drafthouse does rolling
roads. Galveston, yeah.
Alamo Drafthouse does rolling road shows of this where they set up theaters in lakes and you sit in the water and you watch this.
That's crazy.
I'd probably be creeped out. I don't know. It's just me.
Yeah.
So, but that just shows you the power of this movie that, 40 years later, that it still plays well and has screenings like that. And it should be a fun one to talk about next week on the show.
So next week is Shark Week.
Shark Week.
Dum, 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 dum.
But also, man, there's a new app out there called Podcoin. We're on it now. You download it on your phone, you can listen to your podcast, and I guess you get paid some sort of virtual currency for using it. I don't know how. I haven't really sat down and know what the virtual currency is for.
It's Bitcoin.
I guess you can turn it into money.
or coupons.
But we're on there, and if you use the code Rebel Radio.
I love me a coupon.
If you use the code Rebel Radio when you download it, you'll get 300 extra coins. So go check that out. And, of course, go to RebelRadioPodcast.com where you can find all our episodes. And we're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all the good stuff. Leave us a review on iTunes. That'd be very much appreciative. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter, as always, because we're pretty interactive on there. I've been trying to post more stuff on Facebook lately because I know I've been slacking. And Twitter I'm usually pretty good at, but Facebook I've slacked off on lately. But I'm working on it. I promise. But we appreciate you, as always, for listening. We really do. And that's all I got.
That's all I've got.
That's all I got. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Evil.
The most evil of all evils.
Evil.
Until next time, thank you as always for listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. And remember, just go there and do it.
Do it.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio Podcast.